the rest of the story. In the beginnings of World War II in the Pacific, the Americans could not keep a secret. Japanese cryptologists were too smart for us, too fast for us. Every combat code we devised, they cracked. Communications-wise, the U.S. Marine Corps was in deep trouble on Guadalcanal. One incredulous war correspondent observed, quote, "Everything had to be moved on a split-second schedule. There was not time for enciphering and deciphering, which ordinary code requires, so English became a last resort." Of course, many of the Japanese on Guadalcanal could speak English more fluently and precisely than their American enemies. One radio communication, in fact, between a Marine battalion CEO and his company commander included the critical coordinates of a specific strategic location, and after the secret information was carefully relayed, a third voice, a Japanese voice, broke into the conversation saying, "Thank you, our patrol will be there too." So the Marines had an urgent need for an uncrackable combat code. Well, help was on the way, and that is the rest of the story. It was a civilian, a Los Angeles city engineer named Philip Johnson, who months before the Marine landing on Guadalcanal had come up with a promising alternative to the Corps' current system. To the area signal officer at Camp Elliott near San Diego, he proposed a device that would assure you of complete secrecy when you send or receive messages on the battlefield. The response was impossible. Impossible. No code, no cipher in all the history of warfare had ever been completely impervious to enemy interception. Military codes had to be changed frequently for that reason, but Phil insisted that he was offering the Marines a code which would consistently baffle the most ingenious Japanese cryptologists. Well, the skeptical Marine communications experts agreed to participate in a demonstration. And after that demonstration, they were no longer skeptical. In April of 1942, this is 4 months after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, the Marine Corps committed to Phil Johnson's plan. 29 specialists were recruited to comprise the 382nd Platoon, the first of some 400 so-called code talkers, who would serve in the Pacific throughout the remainder of the war. Their code would be completely memorized, spoken only, nothing written down. After months of organization and training, the 382nd was deployed to Guadalcanal. The code talkers bailed us out of our communications jam. In fact, it's been suggested that we could never have taken Iwo Jima without their assistance. For Philip Johnson's idea for an uncrackable code had come from his own childhood experiences. You see, he was the son of missionaries in the southwestern United States. Missionaries who had to become fluent in one of the world's most complex of all languages. You see, the 400 Marines who provided that crucial communications network, the code talkers whose top secrecy robbed them of stateside recognition, were speaking American. I mean, they were speaking the original American language. The war cries that confounded our enemies in World War II were radioed back and forth by United States Marines who were also full-blooded Navajo Indians. And now you know the rest of the story.